Welcome to Two Girls with Grief podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Kendall.
And I'm Rachel.
A podcast where we talk about our experiences with grief. There might be tears or there might be laughter, but join us as we figure it out in real time.
We aren't professionals, we're just professional grievers. This podcast is for those dealing with grief, those who want to support friends or family dealing with grief, or those who just want to learn about grief. And without further ado, welcome to episode 9. I feel like it's like flying by.
I know.
And this episode is called, Are We Still Friends? Surviving the Grief Fallout. So this will be an interesting topic. And as always, for potential triggers, please check the episode show notes prior to listening.
So Rachel, where we begin with every episode, what is your grief like today?
So I was feeling totally good today. I feel like I was very optimistic. And then I went to curl my hair. And then I started thinking like the curling iron that I used, I had to use a straightener, was my sister's. Mm. And it broke. It no longer, like, it just doesn't turn on anymore. It's this Hot Tools purple curling iron.
Classic.
And she used it. She always had great hair. And I used it every time I curled my hair and it just broke. And I was thinking about it and like reflecting on it. And it like made me cry. And it's something like so small, but it's just like something you don't realize, like it just comforts you. Just like to have something that belonged to her and that I could use, you know, regularly and just like still feel connected and just like something I have to like give up because it's like it's not working anymore. It's like a 20-year-old curling iron. So yeah, I wasn't realizing just like how attached I was to the curling iron and just the reasons why. It's just like I think of my sister every time I use this. Yeah. So overall, like not bad. But yeah, it was something where I realized like I just really miss my sister and I cried about it. And I was just like, this is a curling iron. But at the same time, it just like so many memories and things attached to it and something that my sister actually used. So yeah, grief is weird like that. But
yeah, it's like a thing of grief.
Yeah, like a ping of grief where you're like, oh, I wasn't expecting to cry over a curling iron, but that's life. Things
that's life, I guess.
That's this life that's happening. So it is what it is. What about you? How's your grief today? Cry it over any curling irons?
No, but I'm kind of in the same kind of like sad wistfulness. Today is my brother's birthday. And, you know, it's kind of like
happy birthday to your brother.
Yeah, happy birthday, Jack. Hope you're having a good birthday. Who knows when we're getting to this, but it's kind of, you know, as me and my sister, we're thinking, okay, we got to do this and this and this. And it always just feels like it's never enough because our family isn't all together. And it's just kind of this, it's like a clear gap. And I'm sure like you feel this at like birthdays or happy events. It's always just like a little bit sad because the missing person, it's like obvious that they're not
everything's
there.
Everything feels different. Yeah.
And so, you know, we try to go as much as we can for each other, over the top for each other for our birthdays, just so that like we know that we appreciate each other. But, you know, nothing in comparison to like having our parents be there. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's a hard one. It is a hard one. That's a hard one because you can't really, I mean, you can just keep trying stuff. Like there's no like filling that gap. So,
right.
That's always a hard thing. Holidays, birthdays, they all kind of suck now.
Yeah.
Sadly, sad's off. But always something we like to do is talk about our credentials to talk about this topic. So this topic's about friendship and surviving the grief fallout with friends. So my credentials are, as I mentioned so many times, is I lost my dad, my sister, and my mom. So that happened like during a 6 to 8 year period, depending like of the sickness and death. So a long time, which I think also was like a pivotal time in my life and a lot of friendship changes during that time and just figuring out like what I needed with friends. Yeah. So those are my credentials and I'll dive into more of that in the episode. What about you?
Yeah. I think after, we'll talk about this more, but after the loss of my dad, it had me analyzing every relationship in my life, you know, both romantic, platonic, my friendships, my family relationships. And it's just interesting that when you lose somebody, it's weird that all the other relationships in your life also kind of like feel that effect of that loss. You know, a lot of my friends never even met my dad, and yet they were feeling like this repercussion or like this ripple effect from his loss through me. So yeah, I'm really excited for this topic. So Rachel, did you experience any relationship blow-ups after losing someone?
I definitely had a lot of friendship changes. I think maybe at the time it felt like blow-ups, and now just like the tiniest blip in my life that like it's inconsequential to me in the grand scheme of things. I think the reality, it was really just that I had a lot of friendships that were, not a lot, but like I had friendships that were more, I would say like fun friends, friends that you do fun things with. And I think you can feel a level of closeness to them and realize like sometimes that sometimes you just realize like at a very pivotal time of what type of friend they really are. And I don't think there's anything wrong with friends being different things. I think it's totally great to have fun friends. There's friends that are just willing to travel more or do different things. Like your friends don't have to fit every like checkbox of what you need in a friendship, because there's people that I like to read with on trips or people I like to be more active. You know, like you, it's totally fine to have friends that you express different parts of yourself. But I think at the time I didn't really realize that. And also just hadn't come to terms of like what certain friends are like the people that you rely on for stuff. I also had a hard time figuring out of just, I've always been the friend that people call and like kind of unload all their problems to. And I think leaning towards like an unhealthy way.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a difference of just like being there for your friends and having those conversations with people when they're having a bad day or something. And then there's like friends that need you to constantly be the one to cheer them up and kind of be their cheerleader and stuff like that. I think that's where you might need someone more fit to do that, to help you with that. Yeah. And like figure out methods to do that. And where I tuck on, I feel like a lot of people's problems and pain. And I feel like that's kind of friendships I attract from just kind of like my childhood and different things. So I had to do a lot of readjusting when I realized like I can't be that person and I can't have those type of friendships anymore because I can't take on other people's pain like that. And not like if you just have a bad day or, you know, like I'm totally fine with like friends venting to me about different stuff, but it's like if you need me to be your cheerleader in that sense of like every day unloading, I can't do that. That's not for me. And I definitely had a situation where, yeah, it kind of came to head with just like how bad I was doing that of just like still trying to be there for people when I was not at all mentally in a place to do that because I was going through my own shit. So it was just a good realization. I think at the time it might have felt more dramatic, but now I'm just like, it's just growing up and there's just different life pains that come with growing up, changing,
yeah,
you needing different things. And I think that's okay. I don't think every friend in your life is meant to be there forever. Doesn't mean that you didn't still have a beautiful friendship, you didn't have beautiful times together. It doesn't mean you can't be grateful for them being in your life for even the whatever amount of time they were. So I think it was just like a lot of growth and figuring out like what kind of friends can I have in my life or do I need. But what about you? Did you have any friendship blow-ups?
I don't think like anything big nor dramatic. I think just I changed as a person. So the people that I might have been friends with, I feel like the same as you, like friends over fun things, but not really substantial or impactful. It was just kind of like a letting go. And kind of like, I agree, people come and go. And like, I think there's seasons for all that. And, you know, you might needed to learn a lesson from somebody, or there was a reason they came into your life and they're not there anymore. And that is neither good nor bad. It just is what it is. I do like have really close friends and they know who they are. And I appreciate them surviving the ups and downs of me trying to figure out my own grief. And they were great and supportive. And I think a lot of this conversation that we're about to have is not only about, you know, the griever's relationship with their friends, but the friends also trying to learn how to be there for the griever. And kind of this reciprocal back and forth. And I'll kind of talk later about like, we'll touch on how I couldn't expect too much from my friends when I didn't even know what to expect from myself because I was just going day by day. And I think they were too. And so,
which is fair.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, have forgiveness for yourself. You know, if you've lost somebody, you're not going to be perfect at this.
Mm-mm.
You're learning all this. And I was learning it for the first time and did not know how I was going to respond to things. And so, you know, if you're learning all this for the first time and you're trying to figure out how to survive, and I think most of us just try to make it to the next hour, you know, we're not thinking so far ahead. But I also shared that grace and forgiveness to like the people in my life too, being like, they also don't know how to support me because I don't know how to support me. And so we're in this together. And I think like overall, it was a, I don't want to say it's ever a good experience, but if I'm trying to find the silver lining and the optimist view, I think we're all better for it because we learned so much about each other in that experience.
Yeah, for sure. I think, yeah, I mean, it's all a learning experience. That's,
for sure.
It's ongoing and you have to keep learning and feels like you have to do always keep changing. Like, yeah, just go back to that. It was easy. But we kind of touched on a little bit, but did you see like changes in your friendships since experiencing like losing your dad?
Yeah. So prior to my dad's passing, we had planned a camping. I don't want to say I planned it because I did not plan it, but my two friends, they planned it to go on a camping trip because it was going to be October. We were going to go to Oklahoma and it was really beautiful. The trees were changing. And then my dad passes. And so the funeral was, don't even remember, I think a Monday. They came down, they drove 6 hours. They went to the funeral and then they're like, you know, if you want to cancel the camping trip, we 100% understand. And I was like, I don't know, but for some reason I kind of need this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those moments where I think like collectively me and my friends, we kind of overpassed this emotional like mountain together. Cause I am crying belligerently at random times. Chatting out my ass about death and grief and these new like epiphanies I'm having and these new revelations and all the anger and the hurt. And I'm just like, blah, 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 no filter. And they just let me. And I think that was so good for me at the time. I think like that I was so lucky to have that already lined up and planned, but that they still wanted to do that with me, despite knowing that it was going to be really difficult for me. And so I think like that is one thing, like one key thing is like they created the space and they were there for me and they just let me go all at it, you know, like full emotion, 100%. Because I mean, it was not even a week later and I'm very thankful for that time. Like I had great memories and I think back to like that trip was tied into some of the healing I felt towards like going out in nature and healing and like seeing my dad and like the sunlight and the trees changing. And I don't like want to oversight, but the other friends that I had, you know, they stepped up too in a lot of ways. I had one friend who had like pizza nights with me and she had lost her dad and she was willing to, which I think now someone who's years out from my loss, that she sat there with me as I dug up all that, like all the things and feelings that she had already felt. And she was willing to do that all over again with me as I went through it all for the first time. And I think like how I was very lucky, I'm very blessed to have her as a friend and like so willing to spend almost every Friday night crying with me about our dead dad. And yeah, I think there has been a lot of changes, but it's also been like we said, it's a whole lot of learning experiences. So like shout out to the friends, like I put here, like to the friends who understood the assignment, y'all did great.
Yeah.
What about you, Rachel?
I think honestly, I mean, I think I really relied on like cousins mostly and just some of my sister's like best friends, especially through that, like when my sister passed away and when my dad passed away, I still had my sister. So I feel like it was like she was like really what I need, and I had my mom still.
Yeah,
I was my brother, but I think I also have not been that person that lets everything out. I feel like I've always been someone that keeps things in, that doesn't share so much. So I definitely wasn't going to friends really and talking about it. So I think also a lot of my friends thought that I was okay. That, like, I was handling it really well. And, you know, I would still do stuff and I wasn't crying, doing anything. I would just kind of go with the flow doing stuff. So I think that also made people feel like, okay, she's like over it. She's doing fine. Yeah. And I think in some spaces, I just didn't want to feel normal. But yeah. I definitely become a lot more open with it and just saying the thing that I think now, where I would just hold it in. But I definitely kind of kept the crying and sharing things to, like, my cousins.
Yeah.
And the people that, like, grew up with my sister. So I think that's where I really kept it. But yeah, I think it just kind of coming to terms now where I feel like I realized, like, a lot of my friends thought I just was totally okay. Like, yeah. Just, like, they thought I was doing fine because I was still out doing stuff and I wasn't crying in front of them. So I think there was a lot of, like, that disconnect of just me trying to just figure it out and not really knowing and not being someone that overly shared in general. And I feel like that's where friendships, where I was the person that listened to everyone. I wasn't, like, then sharing everything with them. It was just, like, me listening to all their problems. I've always kind of been that way. So I think it's been a definite change of me being the person that doesn't just keep everything in and trying to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, I mean, I would share with, like, my sister for sure. So just, like, feeling more comfortable sharing more things with people has been a challenge for sure. Because I think, yeah, I gave off that, like, everything's good type of feeling to people. And yeah, I want to
go off script real quick. I want to, like, drill down deeper into this because I think I mentioned this later on too. And I don't know what you call it. I was, like, dubbing it as, like, independent culture or independence culture, but there is this, like, image or expectation that when you're grieving, like, isolated, like, you handle it by yourself and, like, you don't talk about it. And it is like deemed weird to talk about it or to express emotion around grief. And it's, like, interesting that, and I don't know if it's the same way in other cultures. I just can only speak to, like, where I live and my own experience. But I felt that same way of, like, why don't I feel like I can express this emotion? Like, a devastating, tragic thing just happened to me. Yeah. And I feel like me kind of looking back in retrospect, feeling like I should have been allowed to feel that, but at the time I didn't. And you saying your experience right here, like, I think this is more of a larger question for society of, like, we expect people who are grieving to just deal with it by themselves. And I think that's such an odd expectation to put on people.
Yeah, I feel like it's, you feel afraid to, like, make someone else uncomfortable.
Right.
And it's like, I lost the majority of my family, so my whole life is uncomfortable now. Like, everything has changed. So, yeah, I think there's so much pressure to, like, not make the other people feel weird when it's like, I'm going through the hard thing. If you feel slightly uncomfortable, why is that what I'm being, like, pressured into feel, you know, not even just, like, from them, but it's, like, society. It's like, you don't want to make the other person feel uncomfortable, but it's like, all I feel is uncomfortable with the grief and the sadness. So it's like, if we really are close, if we really are friends, like, I should be able to say that. But I think there's a pressure to feel like, don't ruin the time by saying that. And it's like, well, you know, things were really shitty. Things are really hard. I don't think you go through losing so many people and you're just okay.
Yeah. And I think this, like, ties back into, it took me losing my father to find out how many of my friends have lost really close people. And it's weird because, like, some of the people, I had no clue. I had no clue that they lost someone so close and, like, a really important relationship. And it took me losing somebody to find this out. And I think that, like, ties back to the fact that grief and death and loss and mourning is not a normalized conversation. But I wish it was, because I felt like I'd be more equipped for this situation when my loss happened. Like, if I had these conversations before, I would have a better network. I'd have a better support group. I would have better ideas on how to handle my grief. I'd have a community. And I just think it's like, are we hurting ourselves when we are not trying to normalize this conversation and create dependence on one another on how you get through the hardest time in your life.
Yeah, I think it's really hard also that I think there's not like a playbook, but I think it's just a very high tension time, a very emotional time. And I think it's really hard when you don't know how you're supposed to be feeling as someone that's grieving. Like, you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. You might have pressure to go back to work. You might have pressure to do all these things. You know, there's funerals, all these logistical things. Like, there's so much you have to do. It's very high pressure. And then you're trying to, like, function. And I think that can create a lot of friction, tension, you know, arguments. And there's not like, a playbook or a way for people to understand that, hey, like, what maybe you should expect, like, someone grieving might do this or react, and don't give up on them. You know, like, they still need you. They're just sad. You know, I think because we don't have those conversations, I definitely know times that I was really snippy, just like, don't talk. You know, like, I think especially with my sister, I got very overly, I don't know if it's overly sensitive, because I really lost my dad. She had been in a coma. Like, I'm giving myself some leeway here. But, you know, I just got very sensitive about where, you know, who talked to me about what, like, who shared their grief with me, and who I accepted that from.
Yeah.
And I had a very, like, fine line. I don't even know the type of scale that I was using. But I know that for some people, they're like, they got scared to even say anything to me after, because I was very, like, don't talk to me, don't whatever, you know, type of feeling. And it's just hard when it's like, you're going through so much, but it's like, at the time, you don't really realize what you're doing either. But you also, like, some people just, like, never come back, you know? And,
yeah,
like, and they never know, true. Not never, like, they just don't know how to ever, like, bring it up again. And it just never has come up again. And it's like, yeah, when it just happened, I don't want to talk about, you know, like, I'm having a hard time. It doesn't mean that we can't talk about it ever. It doesn't mean that it needs to be something you don't ever check on me for because of that. So I think it's just a really hard thing all around, because I'm sure on the outside you're like, well, this person snapped at me or told me they don't want to talk about it right now, so I don't ever want to bring it up again. And I think it just creates misunderstandings in general.
So as your friendships or the friendships that you're, like, looking to create, has that changed, like, the potential people that you're meeting in life?
I mean, I think definitely I think before it's like I expected a lot from just one person or certain friends. Yeah. I think now I am very much okay with, like, certain friends are for certain things, what you do with. And, you know, some friends might not want to do the things you want to do or travel or whatever. And that's fine. Also, I think, I mean, this is the first time that I've been, like, making, like, grief friends, you know, like, friends, like, that I've been making that I've experienced grief. And I think that has really opened up the floodgates of just talking about it and feeling that kind of comfortability with people. I had one friend, I think it was, she lost her dad in college, and we know we're good friends. And I don't think I really understood it. I know I tried to be there for her in certain ways. But yeah, I definitely still have never talked to her really about this stuff, you know, as, like, a common thread.
Yeah.
So I think grief friends has been a nice unexpected outlet of people, of just, like, people that you just share, like, your deepest thoughts with.
Hashtag find your grief friends.
Yeah, that you just, it's like, I feel like there's so much comfortability. We had a grief group this week, and I feel like it was just, like, a really great group. People really open, and it was just funny. People were like, I want to be like you when I get home. Like, it was just funny of kind of the openness and, like, the tears and just the sharing. Mm-hmm. I think it's been really nice. I feel like we're kind of, like, taking the next step of, like, you know, being friends with everyone. And I think it's been nice. It was an unexpected thing that I didn't know I needed, that you just, because I, like I said, I'm not, like, the big sharer, which is, like, okay, I have a podcast and all this stuff now. But, and I, you know, I organize the support group twice a month, but it's taught me to share and kind of the importance of sharing and not carrying everything yourself. I think that's been a huge thing. So grief friends, and then, yeah, just, like, friends that, like, just even, like, to do stuff. Like, I have friends that I play volleyball with now. Yeah, and then you just see, like, oh, do you like to do these things too? We can also do that. You know, I think not everything has to be, you know, check every box. It's just,
right.
you could enjoy doing things with different friends. But I'm always down to make friends, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. And, you know, you never know who's going to end up being a close friend. But yeah, I think generally I look for people that have a positive outlook on life in some way, shape, or form. I do keep that for myself as well. Yeah, I definitely don't want someone that makes me go more into a negative space.
Right.
When I can already take myself there.
Yeah.
This is myself. So like, I don't need that from someone else. Do you feel like that something has changed for you for what you look for in friends?
Yeah, I think it's more like, I guess, tangible in the sense that after my dad passing, I took on so much more responsibility in regard to my family. And with that, a bunch of just other things. So I felt like I had less time in my day. And I mean, there was a point of like, wow, I have to like time manage like between work and like extra stuff that I'm doing and then like my friendships. And so I think like that's partly like when we were talking about in the dating episode, like I haven't dated in a while, but like I don't feel like that's necessary to my happiness because I'm spending time with the friends that do care about me, and they're very intentional, and it's I think very, there's like a lot of growth there. So I think like I'm very good with like very independent friends. I don't think I can have like a codependent friend after like the loss of my dad. I think before I probably could because I had the time and the energy and like the mental space. But like right now in my life, I don't think I could do that. Like, and not just like a friend, but like a partner. I think that's why I haven't like pursued real like relationships yet, because like I'm not ready for that like everyday codependence. Like I was like, I need to get my life to a point where I can manage
someone long distance.
Like I'm tips from Rachel. Dating
keep your
tips.
Independence. No,
honestly,
no.
Good advice.
Yeah, you keep your independence. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
but you brought up a good point of just like codependent friendships. I definitely had those too, and I can't do those anymore. Like friends that just need you to talk to them. Like if you don't talk every day or whatever, it's like, why are you talking to me? Why are you mad at me? Type of friendships. I do think I had a lot of fun with those friendships. I do consider them kind of like the fun friendships where like they like easily agree to like go somewhere or like fly somewhere. And I think those are always nice. I think it's, you know, you have to pick out what works. And even though I do like having those friends that are willing to just like jump on a plane really quickly, I cannot take the codependent friendships. I don't think maybe ever again. It gets overwhelming where I used to like be okay with that. And now I'm like, I can't.
Like, dropping off the grid, like I think, well, my friends would probably like out me on this, but there are times like I just drop off the grid and it's just because I need to be by myself, whether it's like for grief reasons or it's just like I'm so overstimulated with social activity. And it's not that I'm sick of them. It's not that they're bad people. It's just like for my own sake, I just need to like disconnect and not talk at all for a day or two.
Yeah, I feel like every time I do a very social activity, I'm like, okay, now I need to go lay flat for at least like 2 to 3 hours before I do anything else. I just need to like, I don't know, like recalibrate. That's the word I was going for. Like, yeah, you just need to get back and you're like, okay, now I can do something else after I was super social. So, but for people that, and from your experience as well, but like, how do you think friends can navigate awkward conversations or uncomfortable silences around death and grief and like just kind of bridging that gap? Because I think that's where there is a big disconnect of like, how do friends handle this?
Yeah.
And how do you not be so disappointed? It just like, it's a very hard bridge to cross.
Yeah. And it's funny because like a couple weeks ago, I was talking to a friend about this who was like also struggling with something. And my friend was like, I want people to talk about this with me. I want them to bring it up. That indicates that like that they care. And I was like, wow, that's very fascinating, because the whole reason I don't want to bring it up is like, I just don't want to make you sad. And I think like this is an exact like it's an example of grief and people who are grieving of they want to talk about it, but they don't know how to bring it up. And so sometimes it's easier if a friend brings it up. So it's kind of like the doorway, but then the friend is also conflicted because they don't want to make you sad if you're having a good time. And I think that's kind of like the seesaw or like the tug of war that we're seeing right now of like a person who's grieving and then how does a friend support them? And so I'm going to use my example because I'm probably the most complicated case of when I wanted to talk about my grief and when I did not want to talk about my grief. And I did not communicate this to my friends whatsoever because I didn't even know that I was doing this. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was very circumstantial. If I was just with my two friends or like my cousin or like my sister or something, like I'm talking about it. Like it's a part of the conversation. Like no need to like open the door to that discussion because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But if I was around people that I didn't really trust or know, or I'd feel embarrassed if I cried in front of them. Because oftentimes if I was talking about grief, especially at the beginning, I was also crying.
Yeah.
It was simultaneous. And so my friends, I think, not knowing when to talk about it, when to bring it up, they left that decision on me. And so I appreciated that they didn't bring it up at like dinner with a bunch of people, because then I'm crying at the dinner table and then I'm like embarrassed. And then I'm like, oh my God, I got to leave. And now I'm not having fun anymore. And I wanted a break from my grief. And this was like just a good time to like take a break from everything that was like swirling in my head and all the things I have to do. And so in some ways I didn't want them to talk about it. In other ways, if I was just hanging out with my best friend and she was just, you know, she kind of like was nudging at it, kind of like implying at it, but letting me kind of like take the bait on whether I wanted to talk about it or not. And like she'd sit there, I'd cry about it. She still created space for me and was there. But like I said, I think that is so complicated, but I don't think I'm like unusual in that case. And I say that all because I didn't even know I was doing this or didn't know my boundaries with it. And I was not communicating this to my friends at all. I think it'd be very different now knowing what I know, that I would be very upfront and telling them like, you know, when it's just us, I have no problem talking about it. Feel free to bring it up. Like if you have questions, like I don't care. Like they could be a topic of conversation. If I'm like around your friends' friends, I don't even want them to know that I lost my dad. I don't want to be the sad girl at the party, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely had weird boundaries. And I'm so sorry to my friends listening that I put y'all through that. I didn't even know I was doing it. But I think it is important for friends to, you know, kind of gauge where that line is, because it is, and I think it's also important for grievers. If you're in the space, if you're not in the space and you don't want to talk about it, I think that's 100% fine too. You don't owe anybody any story, any emotional dumping. Like you don't have to, if you don't want to, that's totally up to you. I think if you're in a space where you want to, I think it is good conversations to have, because you're normalizing the conversation of grief and death. And I think like this only benefits everybody because we all have to go through it at some point. So that's my saga. What about you, Rachel?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a hard thing because I feel like you have to have that conversation,
right?
That I think is like, this isn't going to be perfect. You're not going to know what to say. I don't know what to say with people that lose people. Like, you could totally come on too strong to someone being like, well, help me and let me help you. And that could totally be not at all what they need. You know, what helps you might not help somebody else. It's a very confusing thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's nice to open the door of just like, this isn't it's not going to be a perfect situation.
Yeah.
I don't always know what I'm feeling. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm sad. You know, like it is a very ongoing thing. I think just kind of creating a space with people that you care about that you can be open, because I think it does. There's a difference of losing people. I don't like compare grief, but there is a difference of losing people that like were in your life every single day. You know, people that you depended on, people that were a huge part of your life. you know, even I lost like my grandma when I was younger and super close to her and I missed her, but it's like, I grew up so much from her, you know, it's like that I'm not like holding onto. That isn't like what took me down with grief. You know, it's like growing up and then I lost my dad and then my sister and my mom. And it's like, you don't know what that feels like until you lose someone that you would just be like the person that you call for everything that you can't call anymore. Like, that is such an intense, like, feeling of just knowing, like, the person that I called, I can't call anymore. There's just no way to talk to them anymore. They're gone. And you don't know that feeling until you've gone through it. And there's just, like, there are different levels in terms of, like, how close you are to someone and how you feel. And I think because there's so much misunderstanding, I feel like miscommunication, it just makes so many awkward moments when you're trying to connect with other people that haven't experienced grief.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you like you want them to understand or you expect them to understand. And it's like, I didn't even know what I wanted. And I think by me just trying to act normal in every situation, it's also, it just gave people the opinion that she's doing great.
Yeah.
She's handling it in stride. She's not upset. You know, she's not having the hardest time of her life dealing with the amount of loss that she's dealt with. Somehow she's okay about it. And that just really wasn't the case. It just kind of was the face I put out in the world. And I feel like similar to you, it's like, you don't want everyone to know, you don't want to be the girl that like, you don't want everyone to just look at you and be like, oh, how sad you lost everybody. Like you lost someone, you know?
Sometimes it's like easier, especially if someone's like, if you're not close with them and they're like, how did your dad die? Sometimes it's easier to just like, just be like, you know, like it's easier just to lie about the whole thing. So you don't have to go into the whole like backstory. It's easier just like, there's no point in diving into it. Like, I'm never going to see you again. Or like, we're not really that close. So what's the point of like digging all that up for what?
Yeah. I mean, that is a hard thing. You're trying to meet new people and they're like we said, like if they ask about your parents or just your siblings. And it's like, do I just lie? Or, and it's like, sometimes you just want to, you just lie. You just,
it's easier.
You just admit to change the question. I think that does make that harder with making new friends because you want to delay what you say and how much you share. Because it's, it's a lot. You're sharing a lot of yourself really quickly with people when you meet new people. So yeah, I think for people that are have friends that have lost people, I think just have that awkward conversation. Just know that there might be tears. There might be laughter, like we like to say. You know, there might be silences. You don't have to fix their grief. I think that's a huge part of it is I think we're taught like someone dies, you go back to work, you move on. There's no fixing someone's grief. So you don't have to say the right thing.
Yeah.
Because nothing you say is going to essentially make it better.
Yeah.
No one's going to tell me something that's going to be like, oh my God, now I feel great that my sister and my parents died. Like, there's nothing you could say. Yeah, like, wow, you said the magical thing that fixed this for me. Thank you. I think there's so much pressure to say the magical thing, and there is no magic thing. Just, like, accept that there's nothing you can say that can make it better. I think you can just try to be a good friend. And just welcome the new normal of a friendship where things, where someone is affected by grief. I think that is really a big thing because I think that's where it gets really awkward because you feel like you have to fix it. I think that's why people say the things like they're in a better place. It was God's plan or whatever, whatever. They're trying to say things that make it better, that you're not making it better. There's no fixing it. So I think just everyone understanding there's no fixing it. Just try to be a good friend. Just try to have, just have as awkward many conversations as you need. It's going to be awkward. Just that's life. Yeah, just
say like, hey, this is going to be awkward. Like, call it out.
Like,
call a spade, you know?
If I cry, I cry. I cry a lot. I cried earlier today, like over a curling iron. Like, shit happens. Tears happen. You don't think you're going to cry over a curling iron, but guess what? You might.
Yeah.
Might happen to you. You might happen to you. Yeah, just accept it.
So what do you think is realistic to expect from friends when they're experiencing grief? And do you think we expect too much from our friendships?
I think it's such a loaded topic because I've seen so many conversations where people expect their friends to know what to do. And I think yes, in a perfect world, your friend just doesn't know how to help you. But in the reality is that it's just a really unique experience.
Yeah.
And it's a very sensitive topic where I think people are overly cautious. And I think, and you're overly sensitive, right? You're sad. You're in a hard place. I think it just makes, like I said, like conflict where there doesn't need to be, because I think so many times you don't want to say like, oh, I need you as a friend, or be disappointed. And maybe, you know, you will have some friendships that you realize were not good for you or whatever.
Yeah. And
that could totally happen.
In itself,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But I feel like you want to know who those people are.
For sure.
I think you should identify, because there are people that you could just go out with for drinks, have fun, but you know, like, you're not gonna be the person I call if some shit happens. Like, that's fine. Like, they can be your friend and they don't know that side of you. I think it's totally fine. I think you just need to know what friends you can rely on for what things. And I think there's so much pressure for people to know exactly what to do, know exactly what to say for a friend. And I think if we've even talked about it in our Greek group, like, what would you say to somebody? Like, do you comfort someone perfectly? And everyone's like, no. Like,
yeah, and we've gone through it.
Yeah, there's no perfect way to comfort someone. And like, what worked for me might have made you mad. Like, it, you know, like it, and it could just be timing. It could be where you're, what you're feeling that moment.
You're right.
Like
there's changes day by day.
Yeah, it changes, especially when you're, you know, sometimes you might want to be social. Other times you don't want to see anybody. Like, it really is an ongoing thing. So I think just having more conversations, I think what happens often is your friends think it's this overly sensitive subject. They don't know what to say. And then if they're not saying enough, you know, you're like, they're a bad friend. They're not there for me. They're not inviting me for stuff. And I think it's a very complex thing, because sure, sometimes there are friends and people that don't want to deal with grief and don't want to deal with your drama of sadness. And those people you probably don't want to be friends with anymore. I'm not telling you what to do, but you probably don't want to be friends with them anymore just because they no longer serve you for what you need, right? If that is their take on it, then that's probably not a friendship that is good for you anymore. But I think more so than not, I think friends don't know how to speak about it or handle it. And if they think that you're okay, they don't know, they don't want to bring it up, they don't want to make you feel sad about it. I think a lot of people are like, oh, if I bring it up, you're going to be sad about it, or it's going to bring up a bad memory. And it's like, that is always there. It's not gone, unfortunately. Like, just because you bring it up doesn't mean that I wasn't thinking about it 5 seconds ago. It doesn't mean I wasn't crying about my curling iron 2 hours ago. You know, yeah. Like, I think that is a misunderstood thing, that people think if they bring it up, then they're going to be the one making you sad. And it's like, no, that sadness is just always there. You bring it up is not. I think if anything, it's like, oh, you're thinking about me. That's nice. But yeah, I think I found out more often that like people are like, oh, I'm thinking about you. I just didn't know what to say. And, you know, to think. And I think that's definitely more common. And I think there can be, I was having a conversation, this one was like, well, I don't want to have to tell my friends what to do. Like, I don't want to, like, I don't think I should tell them, like, teach them how to do this. I think having that attitude alone is just going to break friendships, right? Because it's like, if you, like, yeah, you don't need to teach them, like, while you're grieving, to be like, this is how you be a good friend. 1, 2, 3, you know, like,
yeah,
that's not something you have the capacity for. But I think it's also fair to just be okay. Like, they're also maybe trying to figure out what to do and they didn't handle it perfectly. That's because there's no perfect way to do it.
Yeah.
And you could have wanted them to do something yesterday that you would want them to do the next day. And like, you have to also acknowledge that in yourself, that like, you're feeling those feelings too. So there's just not a clear way. And I think a lot of it's just misunderstanding. And we just need to, like, I think people just avoid the awkward conversations. And that would just save a lot of heartache. It's like, this is what I'm feeling. This is what you can do for me as a friend. This is what's helpful. And the real friends will be there. You know, and they'll step up because, and you know, you're clear about it. But you don't always know. Like, I didn't know what I needed. You know, I really didn't know what I needed. I was just still figuring it out what I need. But I think because it's still so unclear and it's like there's not a solution to it, I think we just need to have more grace on both sides, I think.
For sure.
If the friendship is worth saving. If it's not, like, who gives a shit? just keep moving. Yeah. What are your feelings on that?
Yeah. When it comes to like realistic expectations, like I know a lot of people will jump to like what they know and what they've seen, and that's going to be like I'm going to bring over a casserole or I'm going to bring over gifts. And I think those are really sweet ways to show that you care. If you're in a position to do that, obviously it's very kind. If you can't, then I don't think that's the most important thing. I think the most important thing that you can realistically expect from friends, and I think what friends can also provide back to a person who's grieving, is just that space to talk about it. And that could be like going to grab coffee, or that can be having dinner or something, but just opening that space for that person to talk about it and let them know that you're going to listen. You actually do not need to have the magic bullet on how you're going to fix grief, because if we knew how to do that, it would have already existed.
Yeah.
But I think in this time period of their life, just being there, just listening, you're going to ask how you can help a million times, and they're not going to know either. And that's okay. You know, sometimes it might be little things, but I think also, like you said, just that grace back and forth of like, this person is going through a life-changing event. Like, they're not thinking how to maintain their friendships in the best capacity that they can, or that they did before the loss.
Yeah.
And I think as a griever, having grace for your friends, being like, they are also going through this too with you, and they might not know the best answer. And that's okay, because we're all figuring it out. And like you and I have spoken many times, even throughout this episode, it's so unique to the person. And that's why I think that space to talk about it and to communicate those feelings is like so quintessential to the friendship and the healing, and how to help with the grief.
Yeah, just have the conversation. Just
have it.
Just bite the bullet, bring it up, and see what happens.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know. So what advice would you give to people that want to be supportive friends but don't know how?
Yeah, I think, and I'm going to steal this from my friend who said, no, I want people to talk to me about this. If I don't want to talk about it, let me have the choice to turn it down. But I think that not only for conversation, but for like inviting that friend who's grieving out to do things. I think like what we see in a common sense is like the person who's grieving, you know, their friends invite them out and they're going to be like, no, I'm just not in the mood tonight. And that's fine. And I think just over time, if a griever keeps saying no, the friend's just like, well, I'm not going to invite them anymore because they don't want to come out. But grief changes in different phases. So even though that might be like the first month from a loss, there's no saying that maybe 3 months after the loss, that friend is ready to go and do stuff again, like go out to bars, go out to have dinner, like go out to like have fun. And so I think just like, you know, keep inviting them, let them say no. Don't assume that they're already going to say no. I think because just even thinking of them and inviting them to something shows that you care. And that alone means a lot to the person, unless they specifically say like, hey, I don't want to be going out to these things, like unless they specifically communicate that. But I think in most cases, like I know in my case, I'm just very grateful that my friends kept inviting me, even when I was flaky, even when I said no to things. They always invited me, and they always let me make the choice to say no if I can or couldn't, because sometimes I surprise them. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm totally in the mood to get pizza. Like I'm in a good mood right now and I want to go see y'all and have fun and get out of my house. And just giving people that choice, I think, is really important. What about you, Rachel?
Yeah, I mean, I think to be a supportive friend, I think things that worked for me that I think it's like the inviting them places, just spending time. I do think like opening that space of just talking about it, because sometimes you don't realize like how much it's like taking a toll on your body by you just like not talking about it, not releasing any of that, not speaking about it. I honestly have felt so much lighter since our like support group of just like sharing things that you don't share or talk about on the day to day with most people. So I think just being a support friend is like just like keep talking to them. It doesn't even always have to be about grief. Like, I think it's not every conversation has to be about that, but I think just being active in their life, inviting them to things, just being like, let's grab coffee, let's spend a day together, let's do something. I think sometimes you just need stuff to look forward to. So I think that's always good. But yeah, I think having those like these open, honest conversations, I think also to just like have an extra layer of like, it's not about you type of thing. Cause I think it's very easy to be like, oh, they're being a bad friend because they're not going to stuff. They're not showing up. I don't think like, unless you experienced it so deeply, like you don't know. Like, you don't know what it feels like. You don't know how your emotions can change. You don't know how like something as silly as a curling iron will make you cry and make you feel really sad. Like, you don't know that unless you've experienced grief. So, and it's not always about you. It's not like that they don't want to hang out with you. It's not that they don't want to be a good friend. Just sometimes you're going through it and you're not. And I think just having that extra layer of understanding of being like, it's not about me. They're just going through some things, and like, don't give up on them so quickly. I think it's so easy to just take it personally when it's like, it's not personal. It's just a really hard thing that you don't understand. And I don't want you to understand it to that level. But like, because you don't understand, try to have some understanding, I think is a big thing. You just like never know when someone needs to it. I mean, I remember, I think we've talked about like my mom's funeral. So many people asked me like, how are you doing? Are you okay? Like, that's just like the question people ask. And I think I told everyone like, I'm okay. But like, what are you going to say, really? Like, people say that. Like, this is shitty. I lost my dad and my sister.
Worst
and now
my mom's, my life.
My mom's dead. Like, what are you going to say that question? And I really batted everyone off for a response. And then one of my aunts who lived with us at a point, like, you know, I would call her like my second mom sometimes. Like, when she asked me, I just like, I was about to say that. And then I just like burst into tears. And like, she hugged me. And it was just like, that was a place that I felt comfortable to release what I was really feeling. And I was trying to be strong for the other moments. So I just didn't feel comfortable like for the random people that were asking me that. And so you just never know when you need to release it or who is the people you feel comfortable with doing it. But yeah, I think just have some understanding, because it's like, I didn't even know that I was doing that at the time. Like, I didn't know I was batting away people like by just being very dismissive of the answers. I didn't realize that I was doing that. And looking back, I'm like, oh, I just was trying to hold it together. And then I just like the space that I felt comfortable, I released it. And like, that's how unpredictable it is. So if it's unpredictable to me, please just, you know, have some patience on the other side for it is my thought. Like, just have patience. Patience and understanding, I think, is huge here.
Yeah. Do you think it's ever too late to fix friendship?
I don't think it's ever too late to fix a friendship. I do think, though, sometimes dynamics change. I think it's what's hard. I think it depends on the friendship and the type. Like, if it's a friendship for me, in the sense that, like, you need me to be those, like, where I need to talk to you every day, all the time type of friendships. Otherwise, like, there's a problem. Then I think it's hard to fix that, because if you can no longer be that person for someone, that's always going to create tension. So I don't know that you'll ever, and not that you can't be on good terms, but you can't go back. It's like, you're not going to necessarily be at the place you are, but you can also be on good terms. I don't, like, there's no one that I hate. There's no one that I, harboring bad feelings for. Even if we're no longer friends for whatever reason, it's, you know, I wish everyone well, like, live your life. Be happy. But I think it's never too late. I think there's friendships that, like, sometimes you can just pick up right from the start. I have friends where, like, we've had issues in the past, and like, not even for grief related, but in some grief ways, like, super helpful, because I've known them for so long, and that there's like that familiarity, that like comfort with them. But like, we're not as close, and like, there's a lot of, it's not where it was before, but I still appreciate their friendship in the times that they're in my life. So I think it's never too late, but it might not be the same. It's kind of my answer to that. And you never know when, like, a friendship might be better than it was before. Like, that can also happen. So I think don't give up, but it depends on the situation and the type of friend. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it requires a very candid conversation from both parties. And I think the basis, having love and respect for the other person, regardless of the turnout, because I think that's just good protocol for being a human, is just to like be civil and be respectful to the other person. Yeah, depending on what it is, you know, obviously it could be very hard, but I think there needs to be a realization on both parties of like, you know, can I support this person and does this person support me? And is that balance worth that in my life? You know, and I think like if there's issues, it's always worth bringing up and talking to a person about it. Even if it's like people get upset. I get upset. I cry about everything, but it doesn't mean that like I hate you or that I don't like you anymore. It's just like ever since my dad passed, I'm now a very emotional person about everything.
Shit makes you cry.
Yeah, shit makes me cry. And I've had to embrace that, but I don't think it's any like judgment on another person. But yeah, it's an evaluation. It's relationship by relationship and trying to determine if it's a good relationship to have in your life.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, all of this is a lot. So if you're having friendship difficulties, just know you're not alone. Mm-hmm. There's not a clear answer. We're all trying to figure it out. We're just professional sad people.
We're just crying over curling irons over here.
Yeah, yeah, that's our credentials. We just cry over everything. So how, in your, like, have you been able to like rebuild your social networks after loss, after losing your dad? Like, have you been making new friends? Like, what have you done? Open your circle back up after grief.
I think like step one was to realize like I'm not the same person as I was before my loss. And so thus, I'm not going to have the same friends moving forward. I've changed fundamentally as a person. And now how I view the world has fundamentally changed. And the people I'm going to be friends with have fundamentally changed. I'm very grateful for all my friends, and especially my longest running friends. Like, y'all carried me through my whole grief journey. So shout out to y'all. But making new friends, I had to incorporate that grief into me. And that took time. I mean, there was a long time I did not make any new friends. In fact, there was a time new friends came my way and I did not like them because I was like, I don't have capacity for new friends right now. Like, I'm not even a friend with myself, like much less make a new friend. And so I think when I came to a point, I think the inciting moment was when I joined a book club. I think it was literally 2022, I think. And I joined a book club because I was like, I love reading. I want to read more and I want to make friends who read. And so I joined a book club and it's been great. So finding groups with your interest, whether it's like sports or hobbies, I think it was through a book club I realized how much unresolved feelings I had with my grief. I thought I was like good with it. And then I met a person who was going through the same experience. And that led me to joining our grief support group. And I'm so happy it did, because like it led me to you and it led me to like reflecting and processing much more than I even thought I could. The reflection on grief and not being so like, I don't let the grief carry me down so much. I'm finding ways to like bring the grief with me and in me, and realizing that's as much as part of life as everything else. What about you?
Yeah, I think it was honestly just this year that I have made moves really to open my social circle. And it's been like, I organize like outdoor volleyball on the weekends.
You really do it all.
Two weekends, like usually 2 weekends a month. I've organized like a cookbook club. I'm also going to organize a book club as well, but like once fall hits, when it's no longer.
Oh, the vibe.
Yeah, just once to get the fall vibes going. And then like the support group as well, like do that twice a month. That has been a really a great like outlet that I didn't realize I needed. I always was like, I don't want to talk to people about it. And then you realize like, wait, I don't talk to anyone really about it. Like I do talk to like, you know, family about it and stuff, but not even always like as much as, especially not as much as I have now.
Yeah.
And about different things, and just being very open about like all of your feelings with it. That has been new. And I didn't realize I needed friends that just get it. Because I do think that there should be like a, you should bridge the gap with like your friends that haven't experienced grief. And like, I think there could be a lot more just like understanding and connection through that. But I do think there is just something nice and relaxing about talking, sharing your grief to people that also know grief. Because then you're not trying to explain things to them. You're not like as worried about what you're saying. Like if you cry, you're like, we all have cried. So I think there's that level of just like, the barrier to friendship is just very different because you're coming together for a very sad thing that, yeah, that you're like, you're connecting on a very deep level very quickly because you're like, we might cry together and you experience those really sad moments. And that's been really nice and not something that I realized like that I needed as well. And it was just like thinking about like, okay, how can I make this year better? What can I do to actually enjoy my city, to feel more connected to people, to like make more friends, just to do the things I want to do. And I'm a huge, I'm a huge organizer of stuff. So it's been a lot of like work, but it's also been a lot of fun. Like, and it just, it's been a lot more fulfilling to me to do that. So yeah, it's been good, but that's just been like this year. Like this is new.
Yeah. See, like it takes a while. This doesn't happen overnight.
It does not. Everyone's journey is different.
Right. Do you think you're a good grief support friend to your friends?
I feel like I just have two friends that kind of have, that aren't like in our actual like grief support group that have experienced grief. I know before I experienced grief, I think I was still trying to be a good friend where it's like, try to remember like you're like my friend's like dad's death anniversary and, you know, kind of send them a nice message and stuff. So I think it's always something that like, I'm just that type of friend that tries to like be a good friend to people. Yeah. I think it's more recent where I've had friends that have experienced grief and different types of grief. And I think just being like a sounding board to them and like welcoming them into like, I actually organize a support group if you want to join. Like,
yeah.
And offering that up to them, I think has been helpful and just, but perfect or no. Like, I think we all stumble on it and like we all handle things differently. And I think, even coming from a place of like, I've experienced grief and you can't fix it, you like still want to like try to fix it for someone else by like, this is what helped me and this is the resources. And I think that could be overwhelming too. I've definitely, even people that like, not like super close to, but it's like you send them condolences for whatever person they lost. And I've caught myself saying the same shit, like that I don't like people have said to me. So no, I'm not, it's definitely not a perfect system. I think even as someone that's grieved and like has gone mad at what people say to me, I've like, wow, I just fucking said that to that person.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, why did I do that? And it's just, there's like that urgency of like wanting to be helpful to someone that lost somebody. And you're like, oh crap, I just did the same shit I said not to do. And that happens. So yeah, I don't think it's a perfect thing. And I know like, I've talked to people who are like, that are very like, I don't bring it up to me. I don't want to talk about it at all. And there's people that are like, no, I want to talk about it. Bring it up. So it's like, everyone's different. There's not like a perfect way to do it. And I've just seen people have so many different responses to the same question. So I think there's just not, you're never going to be perfect with it. I think if you've lost someone, I think you're less scared of that awkward, like, I'll reach out to you. Like, I don't have, like, I'm not worried about reaching out to you. I'm not as worried about, like, my first message. Not that it's going to be perfect, but I think you're so used to grief. So there's not that, like, awkwardness of, like, oh, it's going to be awkward if we talk about death. It's like, no, it's not, because I'm very familiar with that. So I think that helps in a sense that you're not, like, scared of the conversation. I guess maybe depending on where you are in your grief, some people might still not be okay to talk about it. But yeah, it's not perfect. Like, I don't know the perfect thing to say to somebody at all. So don't worry. Yeah, take away your pressure if you think that there's a perfect way. There's not. Have you ever felt like there's a good moment where like, yeah, I did great, or
no. One time I reached out to a friend and been like, hey, just letting you know I'm thinking about you. It happened that their grandfather died that day. And I was like, wow, very happy I reached out then. But that was just purely coincidental. Clearly there was like a spiritual calling there. But actually, no, I think I'm pretty bad. I think I was a worse friend, and I think I've gotten better through this experience because now I've realized how much support I needed, and hopefully I could be reciprocal with that. But, you know, like you and I talk about, there's so much like sadness and joy, and there's some joy and sadness. And I'm like feeling that now. I might not be like super great as a grief friend. Like, I get it. And I will talk about it. Clearly you and I talk about this all the time. Like, I have no problem talking about death and grief now. But my best friend is about to have a baby, and I can tell, like, I'm so excited for her. I'm excited for, like, there's just so much excitement and joy around it. And I don't know. I think, like, for all she's helped me with my grief and, like, being there and listening to me sob about everything. And I'm so excited to, like, return this favor to her and be like, go have a date night with your husband. Like, let me watch your baby, or, like, let me do her diaper, his diaper, or whatever. You know, like, I am just so excited to like give all that love that she gave to me in return to her and with her baby. And I'm just really, I don't know. It's just a new phase of friendship, and I'm really excited for that, for like her and for me and for us to like see each other. I mean, we were middle school friends, so like to now enter like adulthood and he's about to have a baby. So I don't know if I'll ever be like a perfect grief friend like you, but I'm just trying to be like a better friend overall to all the friends who have really helped me through the hardest times in my life. So
I think that's all you can do, because no one's a perfect friend in general. No one's perfect at all. So
yeah,
I feel like there's that pressure of just like, it has to be a perfect interaction. Yeah. It does not. It does not. Yeah. Just
you'll never know what to say. That's okay.
You're going to probably put your foot in your mouth. Like we've all been there.
Yeah. I mean, even if, as grievers, we've done it.
Yeah. So take out the pressure.
Yeah. Like every episode, we end the show with a challenge, a weekly challenge. And so this week's challenge is, have you ever had a friend break up? And do you think it was justified? Kind of reflect on that moment and just kind of see like what could have been changed if you know, with the grieving emotions and now. What else do you want to add to that?
I think we could also add to that, like, is it a friendship you want to fix or revisit or just have another conversation? Sometimes, you know, the friendship can't ever go back, but I think sometimes you just need a conversation of clarity and understanding, and you can end it with like love and just like, I wish you well. Sometimes you need those conversations, even if you can't rebuild a friendship. Yeah. So I think, you know, reflect on if you had a friendship breakup because of your grief, and would you have done something differently? Like, and you know, it's never too late. As long as we're alive, it's never too late. So
yeah. If
you know grief, you know that like there's that finality. So if they're still alive and you miss them and you want to be friends, you can at least try. They're here, you can try. So it's never too late when they're alive.
I love that. If you're looking for resources, we'll include some in the show notes. We have new episodes every Tuesday where we cover a grief topic. And we also have a grief book club with like a little mini-sode on Mondays where you can follow along with the books that we're reading. And that has been really fun to cover different books. So hopefully you can join us there too.
Yeah, that's actually been super fun. If you're here on Tuesday, then you know that our new book that we're reading is Emily Henry's The Beach Read. And this is a fictional book that has grief themes, and it was my choice. So you can slowly pick up on the choices that me and Kendall pick. But yeah, we'd love to join you. We'd love for you to join us for that as well. It's been really interesting and fun and reflective in a different way. Like definitely, like actually dissecting and kind of breaking it down has been super therapeutic, which I wasn't really expecting. But it's been nice to kind of break those things down and see how these books made you feel. So yeah, join us for that. And you know, if you're a romance lover, Emily Henry She's great. But she's also like, it's like deeper themes in that as well. So
for sure.
Yeah. So join us for that. And then how to join our club. Hopefully we welcome people that haven't experienced grief. We hope that you haven't, but you can follow us and connect on our Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. It's all Two Girls with Grief Pod. You can also email us. We'd love to hear your challenges. If you have any questions, you can email us at twogirlswithgrief@gmail.com. All this will be in the show notes for you to easily find and contact us. And as a reminder, grief looks different for everyone. So if nothing we said ever has resonated with you, like, that just means that we process things differently, have different experiences and opinions. And nobody's wrong here. We're just all figuring out. But yeah, it definitely doesn't mean you're wrong. For sure, as well, if you don't resonate with anything. And yeah, thank you for joining us, everyone, for our 9th episode. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.